46 days, so I'm going to be term limited out, so I only have 14 days left, and I'm going to miss it. I've always agreed with term limits, but I've always thought it should be 3-4-year terms, and I believe that even more strongly now. Especially since Nebraska only has one house, you know, I think 8 years is a pretty short time to just get acclimated to everything and figure out how everything works. And then especially when you become chair of a committee, it's usually at least in your second term. And then there's another learning curve there. And just about the point where you feel you can be pretty effective, you're almost term limited out. So I think it'd be great. It'll be on the ballot this fall to expand it to 3-4-year terms for term limits. And I'm going to do everything I can to promote that. I do think term limits are good, like I said, but 8 years is too short. And I do think it would be even more important in with the federal government to have term limits, but I feel the same way there. You don't want to make them too short. Probably 3 6-year terms, 18 years for a senator and for a congressman, maybe 6 2-year terms. So 12 years would be a good place for both of them, both the houses there. But I don't think career politicians are a good thing. And, you know, especially when you look at our U.S. Congress, you know, sometimes when you see everybody on the floor, it almost looks like a retirement home, to be honest with you. You know, a lot of old people there. And I think experience is really important, too. But lifelong politician is not a good thing. Today, we'll be doing the second level of debate with the budget. And there's a lot of difficult cuts being made by the Appropriations Committee. And a lot of the cuts are very similar to what the governor recommended at the start of the session. A lot of cuts and a lot of sweeping of funds. It's a painful process. I hate it that we have to go through it with a lot of the funds being swept and cuts being made, but I do believe in limited government also, so I definitely don't want to increase taxes. You know, we were able to make quite a bit of progress in especially income taxes while I'm here, reducing income taxes. They'll be 3.99% next year. 3.99% of federal taxes. They were, I believe, 6.25 or over 6% at least when I started. And I want to keep those reductions in place. Also, more importantly, the property tax credits, I want to keep those in place. I do think we need to go to a more modern tax structure in the state. I would like to see a broader sales tax base. That's the way almost all states are going. And a lot of states are reducing, or some are even eliminating, both income tax and property tax, and broadening their sales tax base. So I think that would be the model Nebraska should move toward. It's not going to be done, of course, in the next 14 days. But I would like to see that model put in place as much as possible going forward. Let's see. On education, I'll just report a little bit on that. I'm chair education committee. So two of the big things we're trying to get done with education is, first of all, we do have some of the best schools in the nation. We've traditionally been in the top 10 or possibly even 5 or 8 in the national assessment scores. Our scores started to slip slip a little bit even before COVID, and since COVID, our scores have accelerated to the downside. So we need to do everything we can to reverse that trend. I have a bill that's on the second round of approval select file that is based on the Mississippi Miracle. Mississippi, back in I think 2013, started some intensive reading education in the early grades, and more accountability and so forth. And we've actually done that too, especially in the last couple of years. But the piece that we are missing is something that Mississippi did, and that is to make sure students are proficient in reading before they advance past third grade, because up to third grade, students are learning to read, and past third grade, they're reading to learn. So if a student is advanced when they're not proficient in reading, past third grade, they typically have a very difficult time in most, if not all, courses past that point. So I've always said, as chair of the education committee, that parents should have the ultimate say in their kids' education. So we did amend the bill so that parents will be well aware of where their student, their child stands in proficiency in reading, starting in kindergarten and first, second, and third grade. So the schools and teachers will work with parents to do everything they can to get their child proficient, and parents will have the option to hold their child back in kindergarten, first and second grade if they would like. And actually, that is probably best in a lot of situations, because it I think has less risk of having any type of like psychological or mental issues with the child to hold back sooner. There will be a statewide assessment in all three of the early grades, but by third grade, if the child is not proficient, the schools will highly recommend that the child be held back, but parents will have the option to come in and work with the school, actually sign some documents and so forth. So if the parents just really insist that their child advances past third grade, that can be done, but we'll go against what the school recommends at that point. Hopefully all of our students will be proficient by that time. And of course, there are exceptions such as English language learners and IEPs, but we're just going to really emphasize as much as we can efficiency in reading in the early grades. Another bill that we have in education is affectionately called by the media sometimes as passing the trash. So when a person applies to be a employee of a school, that person will have to report the last 7 years of their employment, and then the school that they are applying to work in can go back and check those previous years of employment. And if that person was ever had a substantiated allegation of child abuse or neglect, especially sexual abuse, school will be aware, the school that's hiring them will be aware of that. And previous employers will be obligated to report any of those substantiated reports or investigations, I should say. So concludes my report, but I'm mostly interested in any questions that you guys might have. So I'll open it up to questions. And I can go, you know, talk more on the budget or whatever you're most interested in. By the way, I'd like to go 4 more years if that was possible. I think, you know, there's a lot of work yet to be done, but I am happy that I do have 5 people running to replace me, and there's definitely some good people there. So District 38 will be well represented in the future. And I appreciate these Zooms every couple of weeks. I think it's great to get that connection with especially McCook being on the western end of the district. It's really an important connection to have, and I appreciate you having me.
Well, thank you for doing them.
Well, thank you. It's really good to hear from you and have the opportunity to report from Lincoln.
Senator, what's your opinion on the budget of increasing or adding additional sales tax items to help us as a source of revenue?
I do, like I said, hope to have a broader sales tax base. We did debate earlier in the session increasing the excise tax on cigarettes and vapes. And also, we didn't debate it this session. We did last session to have a sales tax on pop and candy. I would like to see all of those things get done. I think those are simple things that make total sense to do. We do have assurance that we'll have a like amount of property tax relief now with the caps and so forth that we have on especially schools on the local level. So I'm comfortable with increasing, it's just broadening the sales tax base, but increasing funding from the state to support our local units of government as much as possible, especially schools. So I'm very disappointed we didn't get that done. But I think we may have the opportunity to do that yet this session, at least the cigarettes and vapes. It's not easy to get things done here in the legislature. We need 33 votes to advance anything that's filibustered at every level. And sometimes I think it'd be nice that that level was not quite as high, but it is beneficial to debate that. I do think we need to change the rules somewhat so that when something is filibustered that we stick to the subject more than we do here. But I think that'd be an improvement if we could do that in the future also.
Senator Michael Joe, real quick. I'm wondering if you can tell us anything about the school choice provision being pulled.
Yes, the Appropriations Committee on the general file debate did have $3.5 million for funding for scholarships for private schools. My understanding is that on the select file level today, Senator Clements and the Appropriations Committee have taken that funding out. I don't think it doesn't appear we would have had 33 votes to advance it on select file. Probably been 1 or 2 votes short. So he's pulled that out. I'm not opposed to some funding for scholarships to private schools. I realize there's not a lot of private schools in District 38. There are some K-6 and K-8 schools, are some high schools fairly close to the district, but I think there's just one, or actually I'm not sure there's any K-12 high schools in the district, private schools. But in, you know, statewide, I think it is good to have a better choice for you know, it's up to the family as to where they think their child, like I said, could be best educated. And most of the time it's public schools, but sometimes it's private school or homeschool. So I'm not against funding it, at least for, I think this proposal was to 185% of poverty. So low income students that don't have the opportunity as more fluent families to go to a private school. So we did start that scholarship program 2 years ago before it was removed on the ballot by the voters. So this was kind of a bridge to continue to have the option of some scholarships for low-income families, at least until the federal credits kick in.
Thank you, Senator.
You mentioned the constitutional amendment to, you know, give you a third term.
Yeah, well, that actually wouldn't give me a third term because I'll be term limited out. But I do think in general, it's good to have 3-4 year terms in the Nebraska legislature.
So what's the status right now? Where is it right now? Is it, will we vote on it in November?
Yes, it'll be on the ballot in November. We put it on the ballot. The legislature has a method of putting it on the ballot, and we did do that last session.
Okay, so we'll vote on it in November then, okay?
Yes. And of course, now, you know, if you do sit out one term, you do have the option to come back. I think there's been, I don't know for sure, 5 or 6 senators now that have done that, I think, and at least another one is on the ballot to do that again this next election, this coming election, Patty Pansing Brooks. So there's been several. Typically, you have to sit out eight years because it's difficult to beat an incumbent. But sometimes, you only have to sit out 4 years and you can run again.
I see you wanted to raise the salary of certain government officials, but that's been taken away, right?
Right. Those salaries hadn't been raised in 20 years. I thought maybe I had that sheet right next to me, but it's the governor, lieutenant governor, treasurer, auditor, secretary of state. I think that's all of them. There might be one more. That was a very modest increase because, like I said, they hadn't been increased in 20 years, and it would have only put us around the middle, but not even quite the middle of the surrounding states in salaries. I don't remember the exact figures, if I remember correctly, the governor was around $120,000 a year. Lieutenant governor was about $95,000. And the rest were 95,000 or down from there. Considering it hadn't been increased in 20 years and a very modest increase, it was around, I think, a 10 or 15% increase from 20 years ago. And it only added up to about 1 and a fraction of percent a year increase. So, I actually voted in favor of that. I thought, you know, as modest as it was, and we do want to get the best people possible in those jobs. So we at least have to be somewhat competitive. And in today's market, you know, some of those were, I think, 85,000 and down. And even for like lieutenant governor, 95,000, when the surrounding states are paying so much more than that, I thought it was a good thing to even in this tough budget time to make those pay more in line. But it was defeat. It was, I think, a couple votes short, if I remember right. I think it I remember right, it got 23 votes, needed 25 to get amended in, and I don't think it'll be back.
Senator, where do you stand on, I'm going to not say this properly, but basically this bill that's being discussed to allow the data centers to have their private, basically generate power privately for specifically their data centers. You know, there's the discussion about the Google.
I voted in favor of that. I think it was a well-crafted bill, and it did advance, I think, with a pretty generous vote. You know, our public power has served us very well and will continue to serve us very well in the state of Nebraska. We have some of the most reliable and affordable power of any state in the nation. Public power did have a lot of input into crafting this bill. We're going to need more power generation going forward, especially if we want to grow our state. Of course, we do want to grow our state. So this bill would have allowed whatever industry or entity it was, in this case, data center, to build their own power generation. And it would be a big power generation facility, actually enough power to power the city of Lincoln. And the best thing about it is that business would be building that power generation, you know, on their own dime. It wouldn't be any cost to the taxpayers. And if we are going to have more power available in the future, if we don't allow private industry to build their own power generation, the taxpayers will have to pay for building some kind of increase in power generation. So it would be paid for by private industry. And of course, if they do have available power to put online, that power would be sold to public power wholesale, and public power would be able to sell at retail. So there's a benefit there. And of course, any power that is produced has a sales tax on it. So there's sales tax benefit there. And of course, whatever the business or industry is that builds the power generator, that industry, data center, business, whatever it is, would pay property taxes on the facilities. So I think it's a win-win-win for the state of Nebraska to allow that the way that bill is crafted.
Has there ever been any discussion, and I don't even know that it's can constitutionally be done, but I know, you know, a lot of Nebraskans are concerned about our natural resources and land, water, power, you know, we're with these data centers and how much they utilize. Is there ever any discussion around, like, can they be taxed at a different property tax rate or something, basically to offset what it's costing Nebraskans as far as losing out on other resources? If that makes sense.
Well, of course, any kind of economic development would, almost all kinds of economic development will use some kind of resources, environmental resources. The data center specifically, the newer ones don't use as much water. The old ones did use a lot of water for cooling. The new ones, the way I understand it, will use about the amount of water as the footprint of the data center would take. So in other words, about as much water as one center pivot, because it's a closed loop cooling system. So it's not evaporated. The water is not evaporated to cool. So the water usage is not huge. Of course, they do would run on this one, at least would run on natural gas, but that is the one of the most reasonably priced ways to generate power now. But any kind of economic development will take some kind of power. So I think the way that bill's crafted, it takes all that into consideration. Of course, any industrial development will have to be improved by the Department of Water and Energy and have to be environmentally responsible. Well, I got just another minute or two if anybody has a pressing question. Otherwise, I got to get ready to go to the floor. But I appreciate you having me again. And if nobody interrupts me with a question, which I'd be glad to answer, I'll just thank you for doing it. And I think we'll meet one more time in 2 weeks.
Hey, Senator, I have a not a very good question. I caught some crosstalk earlier in the week. Apparently something very contentious was going on in Ag Committee, and I couldn't find anyone to tell me what bill it was that everyone was up in arms about. Is that on your radar at all?
Well, I think it's a branding bill.
Okay.
Well, I'm aware of it. I haven't really taken a position on it. It's been changing. That's been debated at least the last 3 or 4 years I've been in the legislature trying to get some kind of a compromise. I think that both cow-calf cattle producers and feedlots can agree to. When I see the final bill, if it hits the floor, I'll take a position on it, but I really haven't yet. I just hope they can, all sides can come to some kind of a compromise that is good for the cattle industry in general, especially with the difficult times that are happening now with the fires around the state.
Well, that was the allegation at the time, was that apparently the lobbyists were pulling some fast moves while the guys were out in the fields fighting fires. So that was the only part of it I heard, not the reference to the branding bill, which I understand is pretty contentious. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Sure. We did have a breakfast cattleman, or excuse me, Farm Bureau has a breakfast every other week. Had that earlier this morning. And I think there is a Ag Committee hearing today again on specifically on the branding bill, and it was very well attended. So there's a lot of the reason is there's a lot of cattle people in town.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for having me. I better get ready for the floor. Have a good day, everybody.